Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Applause Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we have our special guest, Bobby Figueroa, drummer for the Beach Boys. What summer without the Beach Boys? Good Vibrations. Oh my goodness. We're waiting for our host to call in, Joanne Barton, and we'll be talking with Bobby Figueroa of the Beach Boys. So if you want to call us and join the conversation, call 646-478-0999. That's 646-0999. Oh, wait, let me try it again. 646-478-0999. And tonight we'll be talking with Bobby Figueroa, the drummer for the Beach Boys. We all remember when Dennis Wilson died, he drowned. It was a terrible thing. We didn't know what was going to happen to the Beach Boys. But apparently a lot of drummers filled in, and Bobby was one of them. So we're just waiting to get him on a line, and we're waiting for our host, Joanne, to come through. But maybe you want to call in and tell us some of your memories you have with the Beach Boys, your favorite songs of the Beach Boys. And I know one of my favorite songs of the Beach Boys was in the American Graffiti movie. I think it was called Having Fun All Summer Long. That was one of my favorite ones. And I think we have Joanne on the line. Is Joanne there?
Yes, sir. How are we? Did I miss the intro?
Oh, I think you missed the intro. Or didn't play.
Oh, it didn't play.
Yeah, the technology,
anyway.
I pressed. Go ahead.
Yeah, the system is horrible. I apologize, folks. We're going to step up. Don't worry. Well, anyway, welcome, guys, to Blog Talk, to Applause Radio Show, which is only aired on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight we have Mr. Bobby Figueroa, the drummer of the Beach Boys, America's band, everybody's band, especially the summer band. I mean, my God, you can't, summer and Beach Boys are synonymous with each other. You can't associate summer without mentioning the Beach Boys. So, Bobby, you with us?
Hi, yes, I'm right here. How's everybody?
Hi, Bobby. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. John's on the other line. And
hey, Bobby.
Hey, John. How are you?
We really, really
good,
appreciate
good.
You joining us. And when I saw that you were playing with them, have you actually been playing with them for the full 36 years since Dennis passed, or no?
No, actually, no. Just to clarify that, I started playing. Dennis Wilson hired me in April of 1974, and it was a really fun time around then. And unbeknownst to anybody, the band's popularity was about to take surge. You know, the Endless Summer album came out, and then you mentioned American Graffiti.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden there was all this surge of popularity. But I played from 74 until 89.
Wow. And now, did you know the Beach Boys prior? I mean, on a personal level, or?
Well, you know, being from California, everybody kind of thinks they know everybody, you know.
Right, right.
Especially Southern California. But, no, I didn't have any contact. I had seen them play one time. When I was in junior high school, and there was a little place, town over, that they had bands. It was like an underage, you know, kind of show place. And I saw kinds of great bands. I saw the Righteous Brothers, the Coasters, all the surf bands. Plus the fact that there was a band at my school, Glendora High, here in California, that called the Safaris.
Oh, I've heard of them. Yep, yep.
Yeah, they had that one hit Wipeout, which was humongous. So I saw them play exactly with the drum solo that I can't stop playing, even though I was the first one other than the drummer to learn how to play it, because I watched him rehearse it. you keep going through the years thinking, oh, well, okay, wipeout's over. I don't ever have to do that again. But guess what? It keeps popping up. And I've been playing it for practically my whole adult life. So
wow. The other band you were in, were they surf sounding as well, or no? They were more psychedelic. What kind of music was they? And what were the bands?
I went through a series of bands. You know, I was one of those band nerds in school that I took every music class there was to take, which was great because at my little high school here in Glendora, they were really big and supported the arts. So there was, so I was a total, I wanted to play all day long. So I was in the marching band, the concert band, the jazz band, you name it. I did it all.
That's great.
And so I grew an appreciation for all different kinds of music. Now, at the time, my first group, it was a surf band called The Outsiders. Classmates. And then from there, it evolved and you get in different bands and try different things. And I was in an 8-piece rhythm of blues band prior to the Beach Boys called the Poverty Train.
Mm.
And we were a club band and we played all over Alaska and Hawaii and here in California. And so I had a deep appreciation for all these different kinds of music, and I sang as well. So
nice.
I really appreciated the vocalists, the people that could sing really, really well. And, of course, the Beach Boys, there's nobody better.
Oh, great harmonies. Oh, my God, the harmonies.
Great.
Yeah,
my teachers were pretty good, So I had not known them yet, but when the opportunity came up all of a sudden, I was prepared to do whatever they needed me to do, and it was just wow,
cool.
An amazing thing.
The other band you were in, were any hits, anything make the charts, or no? Not really.
We just played, in Hollywood, and like I said, we traveled and played a lot of nights. I was in playing nightclubs for like 8 years, and it was just fun. It was that. There were plenty of places to play back then. This is before the disco era and everything.
The Troubadour.
There were clubs everywhere.
Troubadour. You had everything down in on the boulevard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I played at Pandora's Box.
Whiskey and Go-Go.
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
In fact, when I was in high school, I was in the house band at Pandora's Box for my junior and senior year of high school.
Oh, that's cool. I wanted to ask you now, the band you were in, oh, geez, I lost my train of thought. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. The band, I'm sorry. It's just I rushed to get on the air tonight. I apologize. The bands that you were in, any of those guys go on to, oh, no, that's all I have to ask you. The songs you were doing in the clubs, were they covers, originals? What were you guys doing?
Yeah, there were a little bit of both, mostly covers because the club scene was like that. You had to play popular music.
Right.
For them
still that way.
To play 6 hours. I mean, 6 nights a week. It was you had to learn. You could do your own stuff. You could kind of pepper it in there here and there, but mostly it was cover songs and stuff. But it was we didn't have any real hits, We did, but I was just kind of. But it, because of that band, that last band I mentioned is kind of the reason. I ended up with the Beach Boys.
No, tell us about it.
Well, it was like I was looking for a guy to go with us to Hawaii for six months to play at a club. And, of course, who wouldn't want to do that? So I was looking around, and someone informed me of this fellow that was living behind the Musicians Union contact building there. And he was supposed to be really good. So I went and heard a fellow. His name was Carly Munoz. And he played with, I took him to, he was a tremendously talented keyboard player. I mean, just unbelievable, great. So we hired him right away, and we went to Hawaii and played. Well, fast forward, that group broke up, as many do.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing in a nightclub one night in Pasadena, and I got a phone call from Carly, and he said, Bobby, you got to call over here. And so, of course, they had a big phone booth, remember those? And
yeah.
It was a big red one. It was a big red English type phone booth. But
yeah.
It was Carly, and he informed me that he was then, he was playing with the Beach Boys at the time. And I said, well, I congratulated him, going, that's great, Carly. You got out of nightclubs. You're playing concerts. That's wonderful.
Right.
And he said, you don't understand. They want to hear you.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, when? He goes, come down to his brother's studio in Santa Monica tomorrow.
Right.
And I set up an audition for you. I told them all about you. And
right.
You could play and sing. And so, you know, they had me in the next day. I went in. I was the first of about 10 guys that were going to go in the studio and you know, audition. So I, you know, sat there in the middle of the studio, and the Beach Boys walked in one by one, you know, one at a time to ask me to play certain things, certain fields. And so I went through Mike and then Alan, then Carl, and then, of course, Dennis was there. And it all was looking very, very good. But then they said, okay, thanks, you know. And as I was leaving the building, I heard someone shout to me saying, hey, where are you going? And it was Dennis. It was Dennis,
right.
And he was
poking
his head out of an office.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He says, come here. I was like, okay. So I went in there, and he goes, where are you going? I go, well, you know, you got to audition these other drummers, right? I got a gig tonight in Pasadena. And he says, no, you don't understand. We want you to go on the road with us.
Cool.
And I said, really? When? He said, tomorrow.
Oh, my
God. Write down your address, and we'll send the car. We'll see you in Washington.
Cool.
And that was
oh, my God. Wow, there you go. Like, that's amazing. No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
hey, Bobby, can I ask you a question? Did you play along with Dennis, or did you fill in for Dennis when you played with them?
That was my question, yep.
I see what you mean. Yeah, here's what the reason Dennis hired me was because he wanted to go up front and play piano. You know, he's a very talented musician. You know, rest his soul. He was the greatest guy and super talented. He played piano very well, and he wrote songs and everything. And he wanted on the songs that he would normally play on drums. He wanted me to back him. Fill those spots, play those. I think the first song I played was Surfer Girl. That was my very first on the drums. The rest of the time I played percussion. And I wasn't singing yet, but he hired me to spell him in that way. And then it just progressed to where then they found out I could sing, and then they gave me a microphone, and then it just you know, went on and on like that in a very, very positive way.
Well,
like
that's that's what I was going to ask you. Were you hired because Dennis was having some tough times? You know, Dennis was the bad boy.
No, not at all.
Band,
he
so.
Just wanted to go up front and play piano. He was doing great at the time. I mean, the guy was.
Yeah, and they have a fairly large percussion section as well.
Yeah,
I mean, not just him playing the drums. So yeah.
Exactly. So at one time we had two kids on the stage, and we were playing side by side the entire show. You know,
that
it was like
that must have sounded fantastic because
really great, and me being new to the concert, you know, arenas, I learned a lot from Dennis on how to approach that and how to kind of slow myself down and take so much of the fluff out of there and concentrate more on the groove. And he was a great teacher. I really loved him for that. He taught me a lot.
Well, let me ask you this now, when, obviously, you know, I don't know if we want to touch on this or not, but, you know, he had some drinking problems and whatnot. So were there any nights that where you were the only one there and he wasn't there? I mean, did he, like, really, like, depend on you and fall back on you? And
You know, sometimes you just couldn't find it, you know. And I'm not saying I was an angel either, but maybe just a – you know, just I was there and I was on call all the time. So when I went to a concert in the middle of a tour, I never knew at times
if
I was going to do the entire show or just
or
spell
not,
him
right.
again. You
right,
know,
right.
I was I had to be ready in any event to step up there and take over, even in the middle of the song sometimes if he. you know, got a little wild or whatever. And, you know, we all know he got wild and and was, you know, had a lot of demons. We all did, but, you know, he was a hard guy to keep up with. Even then, he was just still very creative and still, you know, very charismatic, you know.
So, obviously you're a fan. So when they asked you to do this, I mean, you must have been like, oh, my God. I mean, like.
Well, first of all, I couldn't believe it. And before I knew it, I was on stage playing with them.
Right.
You know, in Tacoma, Washington at a college up there.
How long did it take you to learn the songs? Because he said tomorrow.
I crammed all night. You know, obviously I had one day, 24 hours to get my act together.
Right.
So I crammed, you know, pretty much all night. I had to go back to the nightclub and tell my band that I'm not coming back.
You
know, and I'm sorry, but this is a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
Even though, you know, they didn't think it was a great opportunity.
Well,
I said, you know what? I got a good feeling about this. I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm going to take it. So I'm sorry you're mad at me, but I got to go.
Let me ask you, when you were going in for the audition, were you nervous? Were you nervous, and did you say to yourself,
oh, God, yes.
Wait, did you say to yourself, I'm not going to get this. I'm Hispanic. These guys are all American.
Exactly.
All
Look at me. I'm bushy, bushy, brown hairdo, and tan as it can be. And that was in Hawaii previous to that. So, you know, it was like, there's no way this Mexican kid from Glendora is ever going to get this job. I thought I'd give it my best shot anyway.
Wow.
And then when you get to the studio and there's 10 other guys waiting, I said, well, I'm really not going to get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing was I really felt confident and a little nervous, but also I've been playing thousands of hours. I mean, you know, I played 5 hours a day in school alone.
Right.
Not to mention my
obviously you were accepted on your talent, but I was wondering with myself, because it's like, okay, here's a family, all American white band, you know, apple pie, boy next door type of thing, and here comes this Hispanic guy. Oh my God, am I going to get into this waspy band or not? You know, so. How did it feel becoming part of the family? I mean, obviously, you know, they welcomed you as part of the family.
It was very, very, you know, at first it was a little, you know, they were looking at me trying to figure me out, we were trying to figure each other out.
Of course.
But Dennis was so supportive. I mean, and then Carl fell into where he just kind of went, wow. Give him a microphone, insisted that I have a microphone up there as well. After hearing me sing in the hallways before a show, you know, it was like, all of a sudden, here's some parts for you to sing.
And before
I knew it, I was, you know, ingrained. But I got to say that they, you know, were very warm. And you know, I was family-oriented, too. I came from a large family, and we all sang, and we all carried on together. And I knew what that was like. So when they invited me, and I saw that they were a family, too, and it's funny because the conversations we had were always about our families. They wanted to know, you know, about how I grew up and what was my family like, especially Audrey, the Wilson's mother.
Yeah.
I used to sit with her on the airplane, and we would just talk and talk and talk and talk. And she wanted to know everything there was about my family, even though, you know, here was the woman who birthed the Beach Boys, you know, who was the original surfer girl. But she was so nice and so, you know, calming and don't be nervous. And she would just talk to me, and we would have a few laughs, and you know, I could see a little bit of her in every one of the boys, Carl, Dennis, and Brian.
Well, I don't know when the father.
Hey, Joanne, we have a call for Bobby. Sherry from Kearney, New Jersey. Sherry, are you on the line?
Hi,
Sherry?
Yes, I'm still here.
Hi, Sherry.
How's
welcome to Applause Radio Show. You want to talk to Bobby Figueroa?
Well, I just wanted to say hello, and I'm a big fan of the Beach Boys, and I mean, who isn't, right?
They're America's band.
Oh yeah, the Beach Boys—they pick you up when you're in the mood for lively music and singing and dancing. They'll do it for you when you're feeling kind of mellow. You got those old songs, you know, that fit that mood too.
Yeah, you got it.
It's just a real feel-good music.
you know, if I could tell you this, Terry, that's why I loved it so much and saw it as being such a great opportunity, because there was nothing threatening about this band. All the music was just so good and heartwarming. You could see it in the faces of the audience every night. Every time we started a song, you would see faces light up, and that's what keeps it fresh and new. And
they still sell out to this day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're still out there. Michael's out there playing. You know, Brian's playing with his band. So even though we're kind of splintered now, you know, we're all, you know, everyone's still, you know, pushing this, you know, the same message of, you know, have fun. It's summertime, you know. It's innocent, you know, love your cars, love your girl, love your family, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
so bad about that? I mean, you got to love it, right? I totally, totally agree with you.
Yeah, definitely. I'll listen to the Beach Boys anytime. And you sound great, too. I love how you talk about your family and your family orientated. But I don't understand, what town are you saying that you were raised in?
Okay, I was born and raised here in a little town east of Los Angeles, about 20 miles east along the foothills called Glendora. And it was a little community nestled up against foothills here. It used to be all orange trees. Where I grew up was actually in a grove house in an orange grove, we were given to stay at by my father's employer, Clement Lefebvre, who invented the Rainbird sprinkler. You know those little sprinklers that go all across your lawn.
Yeah.
The man who invented that was my dad's employer. That's the reason why I got to grow up with a 10-acre playground. And plums and peaches and apricots and grapes and you name it. I was the prettiest kid you ever saw.
Yeah, it sounds like a great way to grow up. When I listen to the Beach Boys, that's how I feel. Young, wild,
and
free.
We were far from the beach, you know, but we still loved going to the beach. And we would get on Highway 39, and it would take about 2 hours to get from here to Huntington Beach. All the way down Highway 39, but we'd do it because it was such a cool thing to do, and surfing was happening, and surf music was happening. So this little town just, you know, we had, like I said, we had the Safaris. They were, you know, the number one hit in the nation with Wipeout. So we were very in tune with music and very in tune with the times.
But Bobby was going to ask you now, I want to ask Sherry, actually, since she's such a big fan, and maybe Bobby could answer this because I'm not 100% sure if I'm correct. Now, they were called the Beach Boys. They sang about surfing, There was only one surfer in the family. Is that correct, Bob?
That's correct. It was Dennis.
Wait, no, I wanted to see if Sherry knew.
Oh, I'm sorry. I blew the surprise.
No, well, I knew it was Dennis.
Did you know already?
I did, yes. That's why I wanted to see if Shelby would get it. Yeah.
I see. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, but that is funny and ironic as well, that here they call themselves the Beach Boys. All their songs are about surfing, and only one of them surfed. So, you know, that's amazing, too, behind it. But you had that explosion of that type of music at the time. So, I mean, it was a perfect name for the band, for the type of music they were doing, and just wonderful.
It just portrays a lifestyle. You know, it's a positive message, which is why in my band that I started now, we play the Beach Boys music to keep that vibe alive, keep the music alive. It's so worthwhile that, you know, that's why it's lasted so long. It's just honest and it makes you feel good.
Did you do any work in the studio with them on any songs that
I did. You know, I was, like I said, I was on call. Mm-hmm. So for any event, any circumstance, whether it was a television show, a tour, or sometimes I would get a call from Dennis or Carl, and they would say, you know, I'm working on something. Come on down. We need to, you know, let's work on it. So I was able to be on some of the recordings, especially on the L.A. Light album. I played several tracks on there and sang as well. And then the Nebworth Live at the Castle in England, the DVD, I'm on all over that. And then, of course, I did a lot of the work with Dennis on his solo project, Pacific Ocean Blue.
Mm. How close are you guys, or are they still with John Stamos since he's joined them?
Oh, John's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, you know, John, when he was on, I met him when he first was on General Hospital at
Blackie.
Oh, that's
a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, and he really wanted to, you know, he loved the band, and he would show up to some of the gigs and come to the road with on the road with us sometimes, and he was just this nice guy, you know, great guy, and we're still friends. And
he's actually a very talented musician, and people don't take him, you know.
Well, he's grown
serious.
Into that, yes,
right.
He has.
People don't take him seriously for his music, you know.
I know. They take his persona or whatever, but he's turned out to be a fine drummer, and that's from sitting behind me and watching me play the music. So.
Wow. Well,
hey,
be
Joanne, we got another caller for Bobby.
Excellent.
Yeah, this is Chris from my hometown, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Chris, you're on the line.
Hi, Bobby.
Welcome
this is Chris.
Chris, how's it going,
Bobby? Good. I'm the one that sent you the Beach Boys collector card a little while ago.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Those are great. I cherish those.
That was really cool. I appreciate the one you signed and sent back to me too. I'm sitting here looking. Like, I became a Beach Boys fan in the 70s, in my teenage years. And to me, Bobby and Billy Hinchey and Carly Munoz and all you guys are the Beach Boys. Like, I know there's the main, like the brothers and the cousins, but you guys, to me, like every show I ever went to, there you were. So to me, you guys are
band.
The Beach Boys.
All these concerts that they've been having for all these years. Yeah, that was Bobby in the concert. Yeah, yeah.
And I got to see California Surf Incorporated in Atlantic City a couple of years ago. A great show.
Oh, great. Awesome. Thank you very much for your support.
I love you guys. And Pacific Ocean Blue is one of my, like, desert island albums. You know, like, you can take three albums. That's all you can listen to, and I listen to that all the time.
Oh, nice.
I feel like
it really is a good piece of work, you know.
It's
hard to be Brian Wilson's little brother and come up with music that stands on its own, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
And Dennis did a great job of that.
I feel like if he had survived, he would have rivaled Brian for some of his compositions.
No, he was getting there. He was a brilliant writer, and people are going to know that besides being the wild and guy and the hunk, he was a very, very talented musician and songwriter as well.
Oh, yeah.
Album
is so dense and so rich. And there's like so many layers I can listen to it over and over and hear something new every time.
It's a really good work. It really is. Some of my favorite songs are on that album.
Yeah.
Dennis was great that way, and we had done some of the sessions. He called me in on he'd call me early in the morning, wake me up and say, get down here, and I was so glad he did, because we would then go in the studio and you never knew who was going to be there, but we would record and just have a ball, you know. It was just great, because it was a real nice process. He let you expand, he let you interpret the song your way. He never told you how to play it or what to, you know, he just gave you the schematic and you just went, and what came out was something pretty special on that album.
Well, Bob, go ahead, honey. Go ahead, Chris.
Were you ever able to work in, like, with the Wrecking Crew, any of those musicians?
No, you know, but I had met them individually, you know, Carol Kay, the bass player, the wonderful
lady, amazing.
Just amazing bass player in the world of men bass players. She stands out as one of those great, great artists in the studio. And then, of course, you know, I met Hal Blaine a couple of times, and I had opportunities to just thank him, you know, just
right.
I just, Hal, you know, I just want to thank you for giving me such great stuff to play.
Yeah.
Because even though
right.
I kind of played it my way, I used him as, you know, the plan A, and then I would add little touches only, but man, his feels were incredible, and I always made it a point to whatever I saw him to thank him and praise him for all the work that he did.
Well, I
yeah.
know,
did you get to go backstage and say hi to Ringo last night?
No, I wasn't. I didn't have the opportunity to go back there, and it was Dodger Stadium. You can imagine it was just this,
madhouse.
You know,
oh, yeah.
this zoo, madhouse. But that was one of my favorite things that I could say is I got to play Ringo and I played together on the mall in D.C. In Washington
oh, nice.
D.C. on July the 4th in 1984. And
right.
and him and we had two drum sets and I have video of me backstage with teaching Ringo how to play "Help Me, Rhonda" and "Good Vibration."
nice.
And that was funny. It was hysterical
yeah,
because he
exactly.
was not a serious guy and he just was joking with me the whole time.
Oh,
but
right.
but we went up and we played it together on the show in front of about 500,000 people that day.
Nice.
No, seriously, it was that many. And then we filmed it, and of course, it became a special for, I think, Cinemax or one of those stations, cable
right.
stations.
Well,
but I got to say, I got to play with the Beatles.
Nice. Well, Chris,
very
I don't
nice.
Know if you know. I don't know if you know, but Bobby's also an actor as well. So you've probably seen him in things on TV that you had no idea was him.
You
know,
I saw his name pop up.
I saw his name pop up on IMDb once, but I couldn't find any episodes to catch up on.
Right. So what shows have you been in, Bob?
Well, I did. I was doing some commercial work, you know, working acting in commercials, and I did like four. Major national spots that were like AT&T, Saturn Motor Car, General Motors, Taco Bell, and Domino's.
But you've been on series as well. You were series
as yes,
well.
Yes, as well. I was on General Hospital.
Right.
I was Pete the technician. You know, in other words, the janitor. You know,
right.
General Hospital there and you know, I was also on the Larry Sanders Show, which was a very good show on HBO, which, you know, I was the band leader, as a matter of fact.
I was
going to
say, weren't you the band leader, right? Yeah.
For the full run, for 5 years, I was a band leader for Larry Sanders.
And that was a good show. That was a great show.
That was a good show, yeah.
Yeah.
They're still, I'm still making residuals off it, but also the same company, Bilstein Gray Productions, they got a huge amount of shows that they did. They plugged me in over at Just Shoot Me. We were on the same lot as Larry Sanders, and Brad Gray was the producer. And he said, "Hey, you know, why don't you go over there and help us out with this new show? We don't know if it's gonna go or not, but it's a pilot. But you know, it's a gig if you want it." And I said, "Sure, I love it," because Brad was a big Beach Boy fan as well,
huge,
and. So I went over and got and started working, you know, doing technical stuff, reading lines with the actors, setting at marks for the actors. I read lines with them. I, you know, did a few. I was Spencer from the art department. and that was on that show. And I did some stuff on there. So, yeah, I did a little bit of acting. No big deal, just a little bit.
So it didn't interfere with your playing with the Beach Boys, obviously, so.
It's like you said at the beginning of our conversation, Joanne, I don't know many people that don't like the Beach Boys. You know?
No, there's nobody. That's what I say. It's America's band. They are, in regard to music royalty, they are America's family royalty band. I mean, you've got Elvis the King, obviously. Michael Jackson, the King of Pop. And then you've got the Beach Boys, who are the prince, the emperor, and of all American music. Like, it's American music. You know,
it is.
Pie.
It's truly,
apple, you
truly
know,
an American.
Right, right. And it's just amazing. And it's like, you know, you had your Jan and Deans, you had everybody else. I mean, everybody tried to catch a wave, no pun intended.
Yep.
and to be sitting on top of the world, but it worked at the time. It definitely worked, and it's been just the longevity of it, and it'll probably go on forever. The Beach Boys, you know, their music.
Well,
is just,
good music has a way of lasting, don't you find?
Exactly, exactly.
And I think that Dennis coming home from surfing and telling Brian what he did, that how it felt to be on that surfboard and the babes and the cars and the whole scene. And inspired Brian to write this just incredible music, sophisticated music.
Yeah.
The harmony structures were just, I mean, you know, Surfer Girl alone, he was still in high school when he wrote that.
Right.
And that is like, that is a harmony structure that they teach in colleges today.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is how you build harmonies, you know.
Right.
And Brian was just, had this oozing amount of talent. I think
just,
we all
yeah.
owe a big debt of gratitude to that guy.
Definitely, definitely. Absolutely. He's a great songwriter. I mean, Pet Sounds, I mean, forget it. That was like one of the best albums ever. And that's what I wanted to ask. Don't answer yet. What was your favorite song that you liked, and what's your favorite song to play on of the Beach Boys?
Well, okay. Well, I got to play on all of them, so.
No, I know, but which is your favorite that you like to play? Like, which one
that I like to play? I think,
yeah.
I think probably Sail on Sailor.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
The collaboration that he did. And, you know, I got to actually sing that on the show
cool.
several times. And once in front of at the Queen Mary.
Nice.
I sang it there on, it was a nationally televised special in July that we did. I mean, for me, I got to sing it, so it was a big thrill for me, you know, so it's kind
right.
of my favorite thing to do, but I tell you, I think that I love all the songs, but I think on the very, very top of the list is God Only Knows.
Oh, I have a list here of mine. Mine is Don't Worry, Baby, God Only Knows, and Wouldn't It Be Nice. Those are my favorites.
Those are all
yeah.
classic songs.
Yeah.
And every one of them deserving to be anybody's favorite.
Right.
But for some reason, it was just that the message in that song, you know, was so clear
right.
and so innocent. And
mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney said that it was one of the most beautiful songs ever written.
Well, there
love
you
songs
go.
Ever.
There
you know,
you
and when someone like that says it's that good,
right.
you gotta believe it, you know.
Right. You
hey,
yeah,
Bobby, on that
yeah.
God Only Knows, Bobby, on a God Only Knows song, I think that's the first time I ever heard Jingle Bells in a pop song. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. I actually, yes, that was my job on the show was to play the sleigh bells on that song.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was kind of odd, but Carl came to me one day and says, "Will you play sleigh bells?" And so I said, sure, you know, I was willing to do whatever they asked me to do. And so I asked for a couple of sleigh bell trees that you hold in your hand and just kind of smack them together and keep the time with it during the intro of that song, which is very beautiful.
Now, were they the first band to, now I could be wrong on the instrument, but Good Vibration, is that a cello? What is that in there?
It is a cello
that's a
in
theremin,
there.
And I think
it's
that might
theremin
be
a theremin, and the there's also cello in there. You know, the final version of it, the one that was released and marketed and played on the radio, had, you know, there was other elements that were left out because, you know, it was a really long piece that Brian had written, and they edited it down to that amount of time, so some of it had harmonica and bass
right.
harmonica and other
and
instruments
everything
as well.
In yeah, everything.
The
yeah.
final mix, didn't. It had the theremin as well as the cello, and then there's those staccato notes at the end of the song.
For that time, you would not expect that for, you know, because it's
no.
it, for that time, it was, it's considered a rock song, basically. But, you know, and it's amazing to me that they really were ahead of their time. They really were. I mean, that the you had the surf thing going on. However, the Beach Boys just took it to another level, you know, and they just, like, they just blew it out of the water.
The creativity was there, you know, that
Brian's a genius. He's a genius.
What he heard in his head was, you know, way above and beyond what other people were hearing at the time. I mean, he was hearing, you know, God only knows that he was hearing these wonderful songs at the time when, you know, a lot of the stuff that was coming out of pop music was just, you know, very much the same thing over and over
again.
Right,
and it was so
cookie cutter.
Right.
You know, it was Hang On Sloopy all over again with different words, you know. And, but the thing I found very interesting about, you know, I was talking with Brian once about Good Vibrations, and he says, you know, it's a rhythm and blues song, you know.
Mm.
And I went, well, wait a minute. Rhythm and Blues, Good Vibrations, and I was going, let me see if I could find any of that. And I went, yes, of course. The piano, the during the chorus, it goes, that's a Rhythm and Blues pattern.
Yeah, it almost sounds like the boy from New York City.
Exactly. There's so many other things. It was in the Righteous Brothers, Only Slowed Down. You know, it was in a lot of songs, but that pattern in itself is a rhythm and blues pattern. And it's funny that I never thought of it in that way before he told me that that's what he was thinking of. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing. I mean, and oh, what a talent. How's he doing these days? We won't go into detail, but how's he doing?
You know, I haven't heard too much about his state right now. I understand he's feeling better.
Good.
I know he was not feeling well for a while. He had some physical ailments as well as a mental thing going on. you know, I just, you know, pray for him because I want him to be all right. He's so deserving of happiness, you know.
Exactly.
So I think he's doing better. That's the last I heard. But I hope so. I really, really hope so.
Well, I want to go back to where you were saying how his mom was, like, saying, how's your family life and everything. And based on what I've heard throughout my age of 50-something years old, the stories I've heard about the Beach Boys is that the father was a tyrant. And, I mean, for her to sound like she's so concerned for the family, was the dad around when you were first in the band?
You know,
I don't know when he passed.
It was the year before I joined the band that he was there. So I never actually got to meet or talk to Mary.
Yeah, because I blame him for the way poor Brian and Dennis are. I really do. I blame especially Brian.
You know. It is pretty much, you know, I know that Audrey, you know, delicately as she could, just explained that, you know, he was really hard on the boys. That's as far as she would go.
Yeah, of course.
And I said, that's enough. I don't need to know,
right,
you know,
exactly.
The details. It's just the fact that, but it also, it propelled them, you know, it also helped them push themselves to write better music, to do better things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who's to say?
Everybody has their own thing, right.
Yeah, you know. I guess Murray was just a special guy, but I didn't know him, like I said.
No, well, from what I've heard, he wasn't a nice guy. But anyway, let's go on a happier note. Tell us about your new album, because I cannot pronounce it. You have to say it.
Okay, you're talking about my Spanish album?
Yes, of course. I can't pronounce it.
Okay, so still in the works, by the way, but it's called Canciones de Verano.
It means
songs of summer.
I know what it means, but I just can't pronounce it. But I love it. I love the concept. Songs of summer, and they're what, Beach Boy songs that you kind of
they are exactly
make,
they're
making,
they're
making
the translatable
own.
The translatable Beach Boy songs, of which there are many.
And you are singing. Are you singing everything? Or?
I'm singing everything, but you know I'm just in the stages now where I'll sing it with somebody or along with other people. I don't know. It's just a concept I came up with, started doing, and I started working on it up at my friend Ricky Martin's ranch up in Utah. Ricky
yeah.
just passed away last year, though.
Oh,
but he was Dean Martin's son.
I remember that.
3 years ago. But he was very, we were friends already, and he had this recording studio up in the mountains there in Utah, the Uintas. And, he liked the idea, too. So I recorded them.
Great idea.
Some demos at his ranch, and then I went to Thanksgiving day at the Wilson's house in Palm Springs. I was invited to go to spend, Thanksgiving with the family and, everybody. And so I was very honored, and I went, of course, I'm going to say no. But my friend who was there with me put the songs on, and they were playing whilst we were all just kind of, just catching up and being friendly and hanging. And Audrey all of a sudden went, "What is that?"
Who said that?
Audrey Wilson.
She's still alive? She was at the time. Oh.
Yeah, she was, and still, very vibrant. We were very good friends. But she asked what it was, and then my friend Nikki, who put the songs on, told her, "Well, that's Bobby singing, Brian's music in Spanish." And she went, "Well, play it again." So we played them. I had like 4 songs demoed at the time.
Right.
And she heard them and went, "That's fantastic." She was immediately goes, "Brian has to hear this." She picks up the phone right then and there and calls Brian and just goes, hi, honey. And you hear this, "Hi, Mom." And she goes, "Listen, Bobby's doing your music in Spanish. He's going to come over and you need to hear this." He went, "Okay." So that no lawyers, no therapists, no nobody. I just got the clearance from the mom.
That's what I was
going to
say. Were they okay with you doing it in Spanish? I guess so. Everything was cool then.
Well, I went to his house, and he was, came downstairs there in Bel Air, and he brought a little boombox with him, just a little radio tape player, and we started singing just songs. He sat down at the piano and just started playing, and a lot of times when I found that when I when I talked to Brian, it was always in a fun way. I didn't want to be too serious, but he loved to sing, and he loved old songs, so we would just start singing dumb old songs together, and we'd have a good time. And finally he goes, well let's hear what you got. And so here I am, nervous as all heck, playing Brian his music in another language.
Right.
Yeah, and so he listened to the 4 songs, and said, "What are you saying?" And I said, "Brian, I'm saying what you originally said.
Right.
I won't change apples to oranges. I won't do any of that. It's
right,
what you said,
right,
or I
right.
won't do it." He goes, "Okay, play it again." So then I played it again for him, and he said, "Well, why are you doing this?" And I explained to him, I said, "Well, Brian, there's a lot of people in the world that hear your music every day.
And don't know what you're saying.
And they like it.
But
they don't know
like
why
it.
They like it, but they like it.
Right.
And they just don't understand a thing you're saying."
Exactly.
So I want to bring that to those people.
That's why I think it's a great idea. Excellent. You're going to open up a whole new fan base,
It could be pretty cool. It could be a nice learning tool as well. Mm. I've gotten requests from teachers in the Southwest going, "I could use this in my classroom."
Mm,
if you could do that for us. And I'm like, "Okay, I'll tell you what, when I complete the album, when I'm satisfied, I'll get you a copy." And they go, "It's a perfect learning tool. The Beach Boys in Spanish, and the kids that don't speak Spanish can learn Spanish, and the kids that don't speak English can learn English from this tool."
Right.
So I thought, that's worthwhile right there. That's enough for me. That's great.
Exactly.
I was really, really happy. So hopefully you know, I'll be able to continue work on it and get it out there in a really good form, so that you can enjoy the Beach Boys in a different way.
Well, how many songs are you going to put on it? How many cuts? How many tracks?
Probably around 11.
Wow, that's a lot.
I actually have more translated than that, but I narrowed it down to here's some songs that I really think translated well, first of all, and that people will recognize when they hear it.
Wow. Well, you definitely got to let us know when it's coming back out so we can tell people to get it and get it online.
Incidentally, I'm working on another song right now with my group, California Surf Incorporated.
Mm.
We started in the studio to work on this song about the Beach Boys, about Dennis Wilson, about the guys in that experience. You know, we're going to call it Playground. It's about that experience. It has some, because I took the lyrics, I wrote the lyrics from things that they actually said to me.
Oh, that's cool. Wow.
So, you know, phrases and things we used to joke around with and you know, what a fantastic journey it was and how the world was actually our playground.
Right. And when do you anticipate that release date?
Well, we're going to finish it up, I think, here at the end of this month. And I'll have something for you to listen to after that.
Oh, that'd be great. Great. And like I said, let us know. We could let everybody know it's out there, where they could get it. And in regards to touring, are you doing anything on the East Coast with the new band that you're with?
With California Surf, we're always looking to play. You know, we've played Florida quite a bit, and we've gone up to Connecticut and a little bit, but not as much as I'd like to. But right now, let's see, what we have on schedule now is we're going to play here in California on the 25th of this month at the State Fair in Sacramento.
Nice.
California Surf will be there. And then we're working on, you know, getting ourselves back to the East Coast. We're going to play in Lucerne, Switzerland next year in March.
Wow.
At a retro festival over there. Very, very nice hotel. It's a festival with a lot of, you know, bands that are going to, they're kind of
nice.
A retro kind of thing. Yeah.
Nice. Now, the new band, is that the music that you guys play out? Is that, do you playing Beach Boy songs? Are you touted as a Beach Boy band or?
I want to explain to you what my band consists of. Okay,
do that. Yes,
so you'll get a good picture of it. Everybody in my band was a touring member of the Beach Boys.
Right. Cool.
And we're on the records, and that sets us apart from any tribute band that's out there. You know, and they're all great, by the way. I urge you to support them and support the music. But my band is made up of guys that were on the records and on the tours and with them for more than a cup of coffee.
It's kind of an
elite kind of club that I started going, like, you know, there's a lot of guys, they're not always working, you know, they're not always playing, they have families. So I'll start this band, and I'll just make it so that if you want to be in my band, you got to show me a luggage tag, you know. You got to show me an itinerary, something that tells me that you were part of it, you know. That's really fun, because what I have is a bunch of really great musicians that really did the job well. And so who better to do Beach Boy music, you know? I've had Matt Jardine in there. I've had some of Brian's band, Probe and Gregory, Randall Kirsch, who was a Beach Boy. Chris Farmer's going to be with us this time. Mike Maros, some really, really great players that did that job and did it well. Nice. So I'm really, really excited that we can go out and play and you know, we can say, you know, we were the guys. We helped make that sound. You know, we weren't the Beach Boys, but we really, really helped make them sound great live, and I'm really proud of that.
Well, that's what I meant.
That's
like,
a really great idea.
Right. Are you touting?
That's a great idea, Bobby.
Band? Yeah. But if you're,
thank you so much. I hope we get a chance to play back there, and so you guys can check it out sometime. You know, we're open for for any calls. You know, you can just go on my Facebook page, Bobby Figueroa, friend me, and if you have any ideas for any spots we could fill over there, we'd love to come out and play for you guys.
Excellent.
Hey Bobby, before the show ends, Bobby, I got an odd question for you. The Beach Boys are known as a summer band. How did they come about making a Christmas album?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thing, you know what I mean? Because, you know, they celebrate Christmas at the beach too, you know.
Because it sells and it makes money.
Brian wrote some great Christmas songs, you know. You know, there's some great Christmas music that he wrote. Plus, they would take, you know, standards like We Three Kings, oh my gosh, and do, you know, different, you know, classic standard, which everybody does, especially around Christmas time,
nice,
you know,
right.
And do them Beach Boys style with the harmonies and the whole layering of sound, you know.
Nice.
I think it just lent itself perfectly to their style of music. So, yeah it's a great album.
Excellent.
I always play it at Christmas time.
Let me ask if you know
I love The Man With All The Toys.
I love
the song The Man With All The Toys.
That's John.
Oh, that's good.
John's the man with all the toys.
Okay, well, then he really appreciates it then.
Exactly. I wanted to ask you a question. If you know the background behind it, Bob Brand, when they recorded that, was that just something like, hey, they sat down and just started fooling around, and then there it happened.
The song that had been out already, like I said, you know, Brian was a big rhythm and blues fan, you know, and so that was one of those songs that was on, you know, that the radio back then, which was, you know, you could actually hear, they would play, you know, what they call race music, you know, back in the beginnings of rock and roll. So, but that was a song that was done, I forget the name of the group that did it originally, but it was one of those fun party songs that they did at a party and recorded it with, you know, everybody sitting around, you know, just joking around and having fun.
Well, that's what I got out of it. That's the feel I get out of it when I hear it. It's like, okay, let's sit down and just do it. And that's the recorded version we got. And that's what we heard on the radio.
Yep.
And I love it because it's just so free. It's normal and it's raw and it's there.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't get more real than that.
No,
it's just real.
Yeah. Yeah, and
this
the
was really
thing.
Done.
Yeah.
No, it was, you know, guys used to know how to play instruments and sing into a microphone. And I think it's a brilliant thing, you know, that it still sounds good today. It's always a fun part of the show, too. That's when we get people to come up and dance with us when we do Barbara Ann. It's a real hoot, you know.
Well, let me just say, Bobby, thank you so much for joining us again. It's been a pleasure and honor, and we appreciate it more than you know. And when the albums are coming out, well, the single and then the album that I can't pronounce, if you want to say it real quick.
Canciones de Verano.
I can't wait to hear that, too. When that comes out, please let us know, and we'll definitely let people know, and we could have you back on the show. And also, anybody, you know, want to get in touch with Bobby, like you said, go to his website, www.bobbyfigueroa.com, right, Bob?
Correct. That or our California Surf Incorporated page. You can find us on all our doings in there, where we're going to play and all that. Become a friend. They will friend you right away, and you can follow us if you have a mind to. We'd love to play for you. And I want to really thank you very, very much for having me on today. You guys have been more than nice and more than cool heads.
No, thank you so much it's been an honor. I mean, not only do we do the show, but we're fans as well, you know, and it's great. And all our listeners are fans. And like we said, we like to get everybody one step closer to the people who have been in their life their whole times and have an opportunity to talk to them. I mean, the Beach Boys have been in our lives, not just ours, for my age, but even the new people, and now, like, the new fans. And if you're going to do this fast version, it's going to make it a whole new fan base. So the Beach Boys will never die. Let's call them the cockroaches.
We're coming to the end of the show, and I just want to thank Bobby Figueroa with the Beach Boys for being our special guest tonight. And thank you so much, Bobby.
Bobby, thank
you. I'm honored and grateful to you guys. Thank you so much, Joanne. And,
stay near. Stay
really
in touch.
I really appreciate it.
Stay in touch.
You've got it.
All right,
hey,
take care,
Bobby. Have a great summer, huh?
You too.
Right.
Hey, there you go. Thank
bye-bye
you, Bobby.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye. All right, folks, that was Bobby Figueroa, drummer with the Beach Boys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are going to be off this Wednesday. We'll be joining you Sunday at 7 o'clock on the 21st. Our guest is going to be a surprise, so we'll let you know on Facebook or wherever we're going to promote. Thank you, KWV Wines, for being our sponsor. John, thank
good
you.
Good night,
always.
Everybody.
Wonderful. No, he's shutting me up again. Good night, everybody. Thank
you.
Good night. AplauseRadioShow.com. Good night. Bye.